when the roll is calling them yonder, 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 I'll be there. Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the sea burns out, gather around the other shore. And the rose comes. Morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen one shall gather to the home beyond the skies, and the rose calling beyond the
to that day when the roll is called up yonder. That's a version there that's pretty quick. You can be on your toes to keep up with that version. So I want to welcome everybody who's here this morning with us in person. I want to welcome those of you who are online with us, whether you're on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things there. It just helps to get the word out with all of their algorithms. And then welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us also. If you need that number, it's a toll-free number, doesn't cost a person anything. If you know somebody who doesn't do the internet, doesn't have access to internet, that's a great resource that we have. It's a toll-free call. So I encourage you to take the time to ask us for that number. We'll be glad to give that to you. Here in person, if you want to get one of our church bulletins this morning, they are around at the doors. Be sure to grab one of those this morning. It's got a lot of upcoming events that are happening throughout the month of July in those, so you want to be reminded of those things. If you're at home, go to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download that worship bulletin. We also have children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right, but they're also under that info tab online. And then also our prayer list, those in person, the paper copies are in the rack holders outside the offices in the hallway out here. You can grab one of those. You can also download that from the church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. I want to welcome everybody, especially those who are guests this morning. If you are one of our first-time guests, we want to make sure that you pick up one of the guest bags that are on the sides of the stage or at the doors as you leave. It's got some information about our church in it, but it's also got some gifts
that we want to give to you to say thank you so much for being here with us this morning. If you brought somebody with you, make sure that they get one also. But those are at the doors as well as here on the sides of the stage. Looking forward to a wonderful worship service this morning. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our hymn.
Good morning, all. Good morning. I know you've just sat down, but in preparation for what the service is coming, we'd like for you to stand with us as we prepare by singing I Love You, Lord, 212 in your hymn book.
Notice this morning in your bulletins, if you have yours this morning, our missionary moment of the week. It's about Wang and Hyona Lee, who are serving the American peoples, especially in particular in South America, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, with their three children. So you can read their story there. I want to encourage you to take the time to do that. But we want to uplift them in prayer that their family would remain steadfast in their calling, ensuring they fulfill the mission without being shaken. It's very difficult many times when you're on the mission field. And so we want to pray for them and for their kids as they're there in Brazil. We also want to be reminded for our prayer request there at the bottom to be able to be praying for our Moldova missionaries. They're getting ready to go back to Moldova, so we want to pray for them. So pray for the children as they move closer to another transition, that they will process things well and let their parents know how they're feeling. And so we always ask our missionaries from Moldova if there's specific requests that we can pray for them for, and that's what you see each week that we put in the bulletin below our missionary of the week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for our missionaries. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the many blessings that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here to your house to worship you this morning. And we just want to come humbly before you, Lord, to ask you to cleanse us of all of our sin. We come acknowledging it, confessing it. Lord, not just admitting it, but repenting of our sin, turning away from our sin and turning to follow you. And so, Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit would move in our hearts to cleanse us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For those who may not be saved, I pray that through the message in song and the message in word, they would come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we want to uplift our missionaries, the Lees who are serving there in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Father, as they're seeking to reach many people there, knocking on doors there, especially as Koreans there. And so, Father, we just pray that you will open up the doors for them as they seek to continue to share the gospel there, continue to seek to grow your kingdom, place a hedge of protection about them. Lord, encourage them in their hearts to stay steadfast in the work that you've called them to. And we pray, Lord, for our Moldova missionaries, the Meritus, especially for their children, Lord. We know that's a big transition many times with moving back and forth sometimes from the States back to the mission field. And so, Father, we just pray that you would be with them as they get ready for another transition back to Moldova, that everything will go well, and that they will keep the lines of communication open with their parents about how they're feeling about things. So, Father, we pray for your will to be done there. Lord, bless this service this morning. Bless each person who's here in person. Bless each person who's watching online. And, Father, we just pray that your Spirit will move amongst us today, bring us closer into your presence. May your power be demonstrated in a mighty way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to remind you, too, especially at home, that you can do your online giving there on our church website. Go to highlandbaptistchurch.com and go to the far right-hand side. Click the Give Online tab there. Real easy platform, secure platform. You can do that from here in person through your phone or your tablet. But you also have the offering envelopes that are there in the pews in front of you that you can place in the offering plates that are here at the front as well as at the door. So be sure to take the time to do that. We've also got the lemonade stand fundraiser for Isaiah House 117 that's coming up. There's a sign-up sheet on the board right outside the offices if you're interested in helping with that. That's coming up on the 18th. I'll be leaving this coming Saturday on a mission trip to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, with our association. We have two groups that are going, one that'll be going this Saturday through the following Saturday, and then another group that'll be going the 26th through the 6th. So I want to encourage you to keep praying for us. Some of you have gotten our prayer request list to be praying through that. If you still want to get that, there's still time to do that. See me this morning. I'll be glad to get you a copy printed. It won't take but just a minute to do that. We are also this month emphasizing a couple of things. We've got our partnership that we're doing with the Tullahoma Housing Authority, where we're collecting boxes of crayons, eight-pack boxes, 16s, 24-count boxes. I want to encourage you to pick those up with back-to-school sales. We have baskets at each door, this door and as well as this one and the one by the fellowship hall that you can drop those in at any time. We've also got our 75th anniversary celebration coming up. Brother Wayne Wester is going to be preaching the last Sunday of this month here, so I want to encourage you to help us spread the word about that. There are still some of the cards laying around about the 75th anniversary celebration as a save the date reminder. But we do have on this next Saturday before that, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday before that, the 26th, we have Providence Baptist Church Choir that's going to be coming and doing a concert that evening. It's at 6 o'clock. It's free. I want to encourage you to come and to worship as we worship in song, and you'll be blessed that Saturday evening as they come to share God's word through the message in song. For many of you who took pictures with us for the church directory, you remember that we gave you a card that you could go online to download your pictures, to order prints if you wanted those. That's coming to an end on the online aspect of it there on that website. That'll be ending next Sunday. So if you need to get those, please do that as soon as possible. Otherwise, you can call the church office. We'll have all those pictures here that you can still get those after that date. But if you need any help with that, please see us, call us at the church office. We'll be glad to help you walk through that. But along with that 75th anniversary celebration, we're also going to be doing that afternoon, we're going to be doing at 5 o'clock a cookout, a church cookout. We're going to have hamburgers, hot dogs, the fixins, chips, baked beans, potato salad. The church is going to provide all that. We're going to have water, tea, lemonade. The church is going to provide all that. We need some helpers who can help us to cook the hot dogs and hamburgers. So if you're interested in helping us with that on the last Sunday of this month at probably about 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, there is a sign-up sheet on the board out here also. But what we need from you as people who may come is some homemade ice cream. And depending on how much homemade ice cream we have that comes, we may turn that into a little competition to see who has the best homemade ice cream. So bring your homemade ice cream then on the 27th, that afternoon, 5 o'clock, and we're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship. I think the youth are doing something too, and that's fine if you're involved with that, but just want to make sure the rest of our church knows we're having that at 5 o'clock that afternoon. So Brother Mike, come and lead us.
You've done so well. Let's do it again. You know, we're going to be, if we're a Christian, we're going to be praising the Lord for throughout eternity. So this is choir practice. So let's try worship the King. Join the choir as we sing this one. Hymn 16. Oh. children's church will be gathering over here on the piano side during this next song. And if you would, please stand with us as we sing hymn 338, How Firm a Foundation.
Take your Bibles this morning as we continue our Summer in the Psalms series that we're looking at. We're in Psalm 18 this morning. I've entitled the message, Oh, What a Savior. You're going to see here that Psalm 18 is a powerhouse of a song. It's written, as the superscription tells us there, it's one of the longest superscriptions. If you wonder what a superscription is, it's that little description that it gives to you there before you actually get into verse 1. It is written just as that superscription tells us, by King David, after God delivered him from his enemies, and in particular, from his enemy Saul. And so we're going to begin with verse 1 and verse 2. This is one of the longest psalms in the book of Psalms. It's not the longest, but it's one of the longest. So we're not going to read every verse this morning. So I encourage you to take the time to read all of Psalm 18. But let's stand as we read verse 1 and verse 2 to begin with. And we will read the superscription. To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said, verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, and that you loved us, Lord, in our sin, not to leave us in our sin. You loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to come and to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, what a Savior He is. He saves us to the uttermost. And Father, I pray that there would be those this morning who would trust by faith in Him as Lord and Savior, hearing the Word of God here given to us in the book of Psalm in chapter 18. Father, I pray for many of us who are here also as believers. May we be encouraged, may we be strengthened in our hearts as we remember who you are. Father, I pray that as we remember who you are, may we see who we are. And if there is any sin in our hearts as believers, may we confess those things, repent of those things, turn away from them, and turn to follow you and to be obedient to all you tell us in your word. So, Lord, help us to see what a Savior we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. You be seated. You know, as you look at this psalm, it is a moment of pure gratitude where David begins to pour out his heart in praise for God's faithfulness through the long, tough journey that he's been on throughout his life. You think about all the things that David has been through from the time that Samuel anointed him as king. David faced years of hardship. But how now he could rest in God's goodness. As we said, this is one of the longest psalms. It is 50 verses in this psalm. But don't let the length of this psalm scare you. It's a masterpiece of praise. This is a royal psalm that is calling David God's anointed king, but it also points forward to Jesus, who is the ultimate anointed one, the Messiah, who would come. So it's a song of thanksgiving. It's a psalm of thanksgiving for God's deliverance, a psalm of thanksgiving for of celebration for the victories that God has given David throughout his life, even amidst all the obstacles that he faced. It's also a prophetic glimpse of the Messiah and his victory that he brings to us. And so maybe you haven't been chased like David was by enemies, but life has a way of throwing some challenges at us. Maybe you lost your job, or maybe you have some health scare in your life, or maybe you're going through family struggles, or just the daily grind. All of those things can be challenging for us, like these events were for David. It was 1836 during the Battle of the Alamo. There was a small band of Texas defenders, including David Crockett, James Bowie, who found themselves surrounded by a massive Mexican army. They were outnumbered. They were facing certain defeat. And they took refuge behind those fortified walls of the old mission there at the Alamo. For 13 days, that structure, the walls there, stood as their rock, as their fortress, offering protection against the relentless assaults. You know the history that ultimately it fell, and their stand became a rallying cry for Texas's fight for independence, showing how even in horrible, disastrous moments, a stronghold can inspire courage and hope. That's the echo of the heart of Psalm 18, that David proclaims when he says in verse 1 and verse 2, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You know, when life's battles overwhelm us, understand this morning, that God is our unyielding stronghold. He shields you even when you don't always see it, and He is giving us the strength day by day to stand against the assault of the enemy of this world, the devil. Just like the Alamo's walls offered a temporary refuge, God's refuge is offered to us to provide an eternal security. So we're going to look here at Psalm 18 to see what a Savior we have. First of all, I want you to see this about our Savior. He's a Lord who is worthy. You see that in verse 1 there, that David had been through the ringer, if you will. He had been years on the run. He had been hiding in caves. He had been dodging danger. And through all of that, he learned who God really is. Understand this truth. When you're going through life's trials, one of the things you find out is who you really are. That's when you find out who you really are. You might say a lot of things, but when you get in the midst of a trial, in the midst of tribulation, that's when it comes out who you truly are, where your faith truly is, where your rock truly is. But I want you to also see, not only do we find out who we are when we go through life's trials, more than that, you find out who God is, especially if you're a believer. So he is to be our desire. He is to be our love. That's what David begins here with in verse 1. His love for God was not just a passing, I love you, I thank you. It wasn't just some Sunday morning nod. His saying that I love you, O Lord, was a deep like bond between a parent and a child. It was the kind of love that's tireless, the kind of love that's devoted. That's how David felt about God. I want to ask you this morning, when you read verse 1 there, could you personalize that verse yourself, and would it mean to you what it meant to David? Do you truly love God like that? I mean, we're thankful for the roof we have over our heads. We're certainly thankful for the food we have on our table. But here's what I want to ask you this morning. Is our love for God deeper and tender and all in for him? You see, he is to be our life. David calls God his strength. It's the reason he could keep going in the midst of all the trials that he was facing. And so the source of David's energy, the source of his wisdom, his discernment, the source of his will to keep pressing on was God. Without God, David knew he was done for. This morning, I want you to know, without God, you're done for. There is no hope apart from God. And so that goes for us. Whether it's the stress of bills piling up, whether it's the exhaustion of raising kids, God is our strength. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 says this, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." I'd encourage you to jot that little verse down. You're probably going to need that this week or the next. To be reminded that his steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 puts it plainly and says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Without God, let me ask you this morning, where would you be? I know where I'd be. I wouldn't be here this morning. I would be apart from him, bound for an eternity in hell. So notice here what David is saying here in these first verses. He is saying that the Lord is our defense. The Lord is our defense in verse 2. David here is painting a vivid picture of God as his ultimate protector in verse 2 there. He is our stay, he says. He is my rock. David calls God his rock. God had been David's anchor in the storm. He was a rock, a firm foundation for David, but he was also not only like a firm foundation in being a rock. You ever been we went just a week ago or so to, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it is now, over to Rock Island. There's some places there that you can see the Twin Falls, that you're kind of out on a rock over the river down below, but able to see the falls over to your left. You've been to those kind of places. Maybe you've been up to Suwannee, to where the cross is there, and you're kind of up on a rock there looking out over the valleys below. That's kind of also the emphasis that David is giving us here, kind of like a rock cliff high above everything else. And what he's saying is that God led me to this place where I have a firm foundation, but also as a rock cliff high above the struggle, where he could see the bigger picture through faith. You know, we've all had moments when life felt like some kind of a tangled mess, whether it was a layoff or some diagnosis of our physical well-being or maybe a family fight. But God lifted you and does lift us to a higher place to give us a better perspective, to give us peace when we trust in Him. So not only is He our stay, not only is He our rock, He is also our stronghold. He's our fortress, as David mentions here. So David saw God as a fortress, kind of like we talked about the Alamo being, kind of like a shelter, if you will, from the storms of life. Because when the winds of life come and the skies turn dark in your life, that shelter of God is the safe place for you amidst all of that that's going on. God was David's refuge. When the enemies were closing in, God wrapped Himself around David to protect him. In fact, David wrote it this way in Psalm 139, verse 5. He said this about God. He said, "You hem me in. You've surrounded me. You've got me cornered. You've got me right where You want me. You've got me surrounded." Why does he say, "You hem me in"? You're behind me. You're in front of me, you're before me, and You lay Your hand upon me. It's like God's got us covered on all sides, keeping us safe. That's an encouragement you need to hear this morning, that He is our stronghold. He is our fortress. But notice David goes on. He mentions nine different things in these verses here. He says that He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. Because David knew God as the one who saves. You know, David had these moments when defeat seemed certain, when it seemed like, this is the last day, I'm going to die today. But God would always step in at the right moment, at the right time. Now, you need to think about that it's not that David was cheating death, if you will, and we can't cheat death. Death is coming for every single one of us, but there are many times in our lives, sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. Maybe you're delayed in getting somewhere, getting down the road. You're going on vacation somewhere, and you're delayed getting out of the house and getting down the road, and then you find out, wow, there's been a shooting up on the interstate. Happened just the other day on Interstate 24. And what if you had been there right there when that happened? What if you had been there right when that accident had happened in town? All kinds of things could have happened. So sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't, but God always steps in for us. For us, Jesus is our deliverer, not just our physical deliverer, but our spiritual deliverer, because that's the greatest need that we have. He saved us from sin's penalty. He's broken the chains of guilt, and He has set us free to live for Him each and every day of our lives. And He keeps on delivering you day after day after day until finally one day you're home with Him in heaven. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He's also our Sovereign. He's our God. David had a personal connection with God, the God who created this universe, the God who spoke by His Word, spoke this world into existence. I mean, think about that. Imagine if you're here as a believer, you need to understand this. You know the One who created this world. You know the One who breathed life into mankind. You know the One who parted the Red Seas. You know the One who delivers from the fiery furnace. You know the One who died on the cross for your sins. Imagine knowing the One who holds the stars in their place. And so when life is spinning out of control for you, understand God is still in charge. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. It doesn't matter what happens in our nation. It doesn't matter what happens politically. It doesn't matter what happens around the world. God is still on His throne. He's still in control. And for those of us who know Jesus, understand you have a direct line, a direct connection to the Almighty God. He's not going anywhere, and His throne is unshakable. That's the kind of confidence that David had in his heart when he knew that things looked bad that day, or he thought about that maybe he was going to die this day. He could always come back to these truths.
A fifth thing that he could come back to is that he's our strength. Here David uses a different word for strength, meaning an unmovable rock. So even when David's world was crumbling, God stood firm. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your life changes. Your jobs come and your jobs go. Your health is good and your health fades. Plans fall apart. But understand, Jesus is our anchor. He is our steady rock. He is our sure anchor in this life. He is also our satisfaction. Because notice what David says about him. He's the one in whom I trust. He's the one in whom I trust. David trusted God completely. So understand, friends may let you down. Family may let you down. But God never does. David learned that he could count on God's provision no matter what. So understand that Jesus is the one you can trust. How do you know you can trust him? Because he died for you. How could we not trust him? Then he says, he is my shield. He's my shield. He's my buckler, he mentions. David calls God his shield there, his buckler. God shielded David from dangers, as we mentioned ago. He shielded David from things he couldn't even see. Psalm 34, verse 7. Here's what David wrote. He said, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. How many times has God protected you from harm that you never knew about? You won't ever know, probably, until you get to heaven, and then it won't matter. You'll be worshiping him at the throne of grace. The next thing we see that he mentions there is that God is his salvation. He's the horn of my salvation. That word horn there symbolizes strength. It symbolizes victory because it was the horn that they would blow when the battle was coming, when the enemy was coming. David knew that no matter what battles that he faced, he knew that his salvation in God was secure. Here's what I want you to be encouraged about this morning. If you're here as a believer, if you're saved, you're secure in Christ. And I preface that again, if you're saved, not just because you say with your lips, "I'm saved," not just because you walked down an aisle, not just because you went through the waters of baptism, but did you trust in your heart of hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you're saved, you're secure in Christ, and nothing can separate you from Him. In fact, Christ says you are in His hand, and His hand is in the Father's hand. You might lose your job, you might lose your house, you might lose your health, but you'll never lose your salvation if you're truly saved. Then David says, "He is our source. He's my high tower." So David ends his description of God there with a high tower, because it was from the tower that David found safety. It was from the tower that David could get a different perspective of the things he was going through in his life. You know, when you're going through the trials and tribulations of life, all you can see many times is what's going on around you. You see the trouble, you see the turmoil, you see the problem, you see the angst, you feel the worry in your heart. You're scared to death about what's happening. But if you could rise above those things, you could see, wait a second, I need to go back to the Word of God that reminds me God's still in control. And you begin to see things from a different perspective, that God is protecting you. God is providing for you. And so even as a believer, even in the midst of the storms of life, you can have peace. The New Testament describes it as a peace that passes all understanding. You can't even comprehend it. You can't even imagine, how could I have that kind of peace when my life is falling all apart? You can if God is your source. He's your source for everything you need. He's your strength for the daily grind. He's your wisdom for the tough choices you have to make in life. And He is the peace in the midst of the storms. Understand this, He's got you covered. But also we see that the Lord is our delight. He's our delight in verse 3. Verse 3 says, "I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. David couldn't help himself here. He couldn't help to pause, but to pause and to worship. You know, after all that God had done for him, after all those things that he's listed, that he's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, and on, David's heart is overflowing with praise. You want to get your life to that place where you're overflowing with praise? Then start remembering who God is. Go back to verse 2 of Psalm 18. Write it down, jot it down, memorize it, so that even when you don't have your Bible with you, you can be reminded that He is all those things to you also as a believer. Maybe it's the job you didn't think you'd get. Maybe it's the family member who came through surgery. Or maybe it's just the sunrise you saw this morning. Understand that God's even better to us than we ever deserve. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our praise. Why does God, here's a thing to think about. Why does God love you so much? You know who you are. You know your faults. You know your sins. So why does God love you? As ugly in sin as we are, why does God love us so much? Because God's been everything for us. He loves us, and because He loves us, we ought to be like David, who loves Him because He is everything to us. David piles up those 9 images there, each with "my," to show how personal God is. So when the storms of life come, understand that God will hear us when we call. That's what verse 3 is saying. I call upon the Lord. I know He's going to hear me, even in the darkest hour that I have. God heard David, and God saved David from death itself. And that's the same God that you can have this morning in your life. If you're here this morning or you're watching online and you don't know Jesus yet as your Lord and Savior, you've never trusted by faith in Him, you can know that God this morning by surrendering your heart to Him, calling out to Him for salvation, crying out to Him in your darkest hour. He hears you. He's your strength. He will be your rock, and He will be your reason to praise. But notice some other things that David tells us about the Lord in verse 4 down to verse 19. So a big section here of the chapter. He talks about how the Lord rescues. The Lord rescues. He rescues those in whom He delights. So look at verse 4 down through verse 6. He says, "The cords of death encompassed me." In other words, I was about to die. "The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me." Verse 6, "But in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From His temple, He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears." When you look at the setting of what David was going through, and you can see that in the superscription and go back to look at David's life and the troubles that he faced, David was in deep trouble. His enemies were closing in. Death was knocking at his door. And he describes it like being trapped, if you will, in a flash flood. Water's rising fast. There's no way out. He talks about it as the ropes of death, the cords of death, the snares, the traps, if you will, of Sheol. All of that has him cornered. And so what does he do? What should we do when it feels like life has got us surrounded with all of its troubles and all of its trials? What did he do? We ought to pray. That's what he does. Look at verse 6. He says, "I cried to the Lord." He prayed to the Lord. And God didn't just answer. Notice what God did. God showed up in a powerful way, in a big way. Picture God's response. The earth shakes. The mountains tremble. The smoke, the fire pour out. Verse 7 and verse 8. He says, "When I cried out to Him, my cry to Him reached His ear. And then the earth reeled," in verse 7, "and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because He was angry. Smoke went up from His nostrils and devouring fire from His mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from Him." And so we see that description there, the earth shaking, that God is showing up in a powerful way here. Verse 9 down through verse 12, "He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under His feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind." So it's like the sky is splitting open and God is riding in on the clouds. And then we see in verse 13 down through verse 15, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. So his voice thunders, lightning scatters the enemies, the sea itself parts at his command. And then we see in verse 16 that he's showing us that this is God, our divine protector. Verse 16 says, he sent from on high, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. So the image that David is giving us here is that he's in the river of the sea of life that's raging around him. It's a flash flood. There's no way out. You've seen and heard those descriptions of people who were caught in those flash floods in Texas last year, in Northeast Tennessee and North Carolina. You've heard those descriptions of people who were caught in those floods. Their head is barely above the water. And that's the way David feels. My head is just barely above the water. Maybe you feel like that in your life. That you feel like my head is just barely above the water. And notice David says there, he sent from on high. He took me and he lifted me. He drew me out of many waters. Like a firefighter yanking somebody from a burning car before it explodes. And why? Why did God do that? I mean, you go back and you look at David's life, and David wasn't a perfect saint. David had all kind of sin in his life. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had had her husband killed, so in effect he was a murderer. And yet, God loved him. Why? Notice down to verse 19. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me. And David says, why? Here's why. Because he delighted in me. What's he saying there? Was God delighting in the things he did? Was God delighting in his murdering a man? Was God delighting in him committing adultery with Bathsheba? Was he condoning those things? No, not at all. What he's saying here about God is that in spite of all those things, he still loved me. He delighted in me in spite of my sin. And what that is doing in that verse is pointing us forward to the Messiah. It's pointing us forward to Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, in whom he delights. Because when Jesus faced the cross, the Bible tells us and reminds us that God rescued him from the grave, just like he rescued David. You ever feel like you're drowning in life's problems, with life's bills and stress or broken relationships? God delights in you through Jesus Christ because of the shed blood of Christ, not because of your righteousness. Will you go to heaven? Not because of any good deeds you might do. Would you go to heaven? It's because of the righteousness of Christ that you trusted in by faith, what he did on the cross, his perfectness living in this life and giving himself as a sacrifice for us. God loves you because of Jesus. So I want to encourage you, cry out to him. And when you cry out to him, he will reach down to pull you through. Maybe not out, but through whatever it is you're going through. The third thing I want you to see from these verses is that God blesses. God blesses the righteous and the blameless. In verse 20 down through verse 30. Let's just look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Now, these verses are where we see the psalm not just pointing to David, but pointing to Jesus. Because David could say he was righteous in a relative sense. He followed God as best he could. You look at verse 21 down to verse 23. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So he's saying, I followed the Lord the best that I could, but only Jesus is the one who could claim perfect righteousness. I have kept the ways of the Lord. I was blameless toward him. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the one who didn't know any sin, who was without sin. And so God blesses those who do follow him. He blesses those who are obedient to him, but he does judge our sin. And David had experienced God's judgment on him for his sin. You go on down to verse 25 and verse 26. He says, with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. God saves the humble, but humbles the proud. And so for David, with God's help, God had changed his heart, God had changed his life, and now David could face any enemy. God's way is perfect. His word is pure, and he's a shield for those who will trust in him. Verse 30 says, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who will take refuge in him. So understand, we are not perfectly righteous like Jesus. Until you get to heaven, you're still going to deal with the presence of sin. In heaven, sin's not going to be anymore. When the end times come and God sets up his kingdom forever and ever, then sin won't be anymore. Right now, you're free from the penalty of sin because Jesus paid the penalty for you on the cross. Right now, you're free from the power of sin over your life, although many times when we receive that gift of salvation, we tend to go back, as Paul talks about, and put ourselves under the chains of sin that we used to be in once again. But it doesn't have to have power over your life. You can trust daily in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to transform and change you and help you to live for him daily. But until we leave this world, either in death or Christ coming again, we still have the presence of sin. And so when life feels like a never-ending to-do list, trust God, trust his perfect way to guide you and to shield you. The fourth thing we see is that the Lord equips. He equips with strength to the one he calls to lead. Verse 31 says, for who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God didn't just save David. He equips David to be the leader he needed to be. And David asks in verse 31, who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The answer is clear, no one. God gave David strength. God gave David speed. God gave David skill for the battle. It was God's shield of salvation and his gentleness that made David great, as verse 32 and 34 talk about. And then verse 35 tells us about all the victories that kept piling up. That wasn't because of David's great wisdom and his great prowess himself as a leader. It was because of God in his life that he experienced those great enemies, the great victories, that David chased his enemies away. He crushes them. He stands firm. And we see that God even makes David the head of nations in verse 43. And he points to Jesus in that verse, who one day will rule every nation. So understand this, as a believer here this morning, if you've trusted by faith in Jesus, he equips you too. Maybe you're trying to lead your family. Maybe you're trying to lead a team or just trying to live your life. He gives you strength to face the challenges. You need to lean on him, and he'll make your steps sure. But the final thing we see in these verses, in verse 46 down to verse 50, is that the Lord exalts. That word exalts means to lift up, and he demonstrates his steadfast love to his anointed king. We see in verse 46 that it says, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Notice what David does here at the end of this psalm. He ends this psalm in a burst of praise. The Lord lives. The Lord lives. He's not some distant, far off out there God. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's the one who helps me to overcome my enemies. God lifts up David, and God shows his steadfast love. And David sings a song of thanks. He says in verse 49, "For this I will praise you, O Lord. Among the nations I will praise you and sing to your name." What a song that David gives us. Reminds us of Romans 15 and verse 9, showing us that Jesus brings salvation to all. Notice what he says in verse 50, "Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever," speaking there especially of the Messiah who would come as his offspring. It was God who gives the victory. It is God who gave the victory to you in your life by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. David's victories were big, but those victories pale in comparison next to Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate anointed king, the one who defeated sin, the one who defeated death for us. God has exalted Jesus through him more. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Psalm 18 is David's story, but it's not just David's story. It's the story of Jesus. And it's not just the story of Jesus, it's your story. Because God rescued David from Saul and Jesus from the grave, and he rescues us from sin. He equips you. He blesses you. He exalts us in Christ. So if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you to come today. He's ready to save you. He's ready to make you a part of his family. He's our rock. He's our deliverer. He's our everything. In 2010, deep beneath the deserts of Chile, 33 miners found themselves trapped 2,300 feet underground after those catastrophic mines collapsed in San Jose there, a copper mine. For 69 days, they faced darkness, hunger, and despair. You can just imagine there wasn't much hope in their hearts and their minds. Little hope of rescue. Yet they clung to faith. And you know what was said afterwards? They shared in their own testimonies that they prayed. They prayed together in their underground refuge, trusting for deliverance. And above the ground, engineers and rescuers were working tirelessly. They were drilling through solid rock to reach them. And on October the 13th of 2010, one by one, those miners were pulled to safety in a capsule called the Phoenix. And when they came out of that mine, they came out to cheers and to tears, a testament to the power of hope and rescue against impossible odds. That's where David was. He was in the mine of sin. He was in the depths of his enemies all around him. That's the picture of Psalm 18, that where David finally comes to the place and rejoices in God. And just like those miners found hope in their darkest hour, we're lifted from the depths and the mire of sin ourselves. God is our rock. He's our fortress, he's our deliverer, and he is ready to pull you up this morning from the pits of sin. We need to anchor our hearts in the Lord, trusting him to rescue us, praying as believers for him to strengthen us and to follow him as he leads us out of the darkness into his light, no matter what we face in this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just like David, we stand in awe of your presence. Lord, you are our rock. You're our fortress. You're our deliverer. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you for being our strength in every storm that we face. Thank you for being our shield in every battle that we have in life. Thank you, Lord, for being our hope in every trial of life. So, Lord, we come this morning asking you to anchor our hearts in your unshakable love. Help us, Lord, to trust you like David did. Lord, maybe there are those who are here this morning who need to, by faith, trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've never done that. Lord, I pray that they would realize and say to you this morning, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, was buried in the tomb, and on the third day arose to give me eternal life. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life, and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. I repent of my sin, I turn away from it, and I turn to follow you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that if someone's prayed like something like that in their hearts, in all sincerity, Lord, may they come forward this morning to publicly profess that faith in Christ. If they're watching online, may they comment there in the comments so we can follow up with them. Lord, we pray that you would help us to trust, even as believers like David did. Help us, Lord, to call on you in the times of distress. Help us, Lord, to rest in your salvation. Lord, I pray that you would empower us to live confident, bold lives for you, knowing, Lord, that you are our refuge, you're our victory, and may our lives reflect your glory. May we walk in your strength every day. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we pray, amen. As we sing this hymn of invitation, number 307, Just As I Am, we want to ask you to stand and to sing. If the Lord's laid on your heart to come for to make that public profession of faith in Christ, to join our church, or to simply just come and pray, would you come as we stand, as we sing this morning? Brother Mike, would you lead us?
Just as I am.
Many of you know Caitlin Rogers. She just about a couple of weeks ago prayed and asked Jesus Christ into her heart as Lord and Savior, and she wants to come and to follow through with believers' baptism. If you're excited for her decision this morning, would you just say a hearty amen?
Amen.
We're so excited for you, Caitlin, and I know your family is too. So we're just going to ask y'all to sit there for just a moment, and Brother Johnny's going to come and do our announcements here in just a moment. But after he does that, we're going to ask them to come back, and you come by and encourage her about her decision, and then we'll set that baptism up here shortly for her to do that. So Brother Johnny, if you'll come.
I'm not Johnny, but he said I could go first. Real quick, don't forget to sign up for the lemonade stand. Also, next week, youth are going to be presenting about camp and sharing with y'all what the Lord spoke to them. And so be here. I encourage you to be here for that. Also, coming up August 3rd is our promotional Sunday. So if you have a child who will be entering first grade, they will be going upstairs into the children's Sunday school room. As well, if you have a student entering sixth grade, they will be going to the youth. And if you have a student going into the third grade, they will no longer be in children's church, but they'll remain in here for Sunday worship. So just wanted to throw that out there and let you know what's coming. Thank you.
Oh, I got one more, sorry.
No. It came to mind. Also, as Pastor mentioned, at the end of the month is that cookout here. The youth event is gonna be, we're gonna reschedule that so that we can be here for that as well, so.
Thanks, Matt. I just call your attention to the announcements that are in the bulletin, and deacons meeting will be this afternoon at 4 o'clock. One announcement that is not in the bulletin that Pastor Jim asked me to read, and he printed this, I guess he thought as a senior citizen, because he printed this in big letters, so I'll be sure to see it. But anyway, it goes as follows. Scholarship applications are now available for the 2025-2026 school year. Applications can be picked up at the church office or emailed to you. Any active student, HBC member, enrolling in college for the fall term for the first time may apply. That's may apply. Returning students must reapply, and the application, along with the updated transcript, has to be turned in to the church office by July the 30th. So it was important to read this because it was not in the bulletin. Okay, we'll look at our prayer concerns this morning. And for each one of you, be sure to pick up the weekly prayer list there out in the hallway. And we have some updates on those I need to share with you. I need to remember Linda Jones, Cindy Ingram, recovered from surgery. Linda Smith's dad, I understand, has pneumonia, so we certainly need to remember him. Certainly cannot think of anything, any group that may need any more prayer than the people in Texas right now, all their heartache and the trauma of what they're going through right now. Susan Gibson, a friend of Brian's, I need to also add her to the prayer list. And then we got one special prayer this morning we need to share. Brother Jim, would you come forward, please? Dwayne? As everyone here knows that Pastor Jones has a loving heart. His heart is filled with the love of God, his love for his family, his love for his nation, his love for this church, and the love of this congregation, among a lot of other loves. But also he has room in his heart for the love of missions. And we need to pray this morning as he gets to fulfill his calling to go on this mission trip this coming week. And I want to ask Brother Dwayne if he'll come and do a prayer for Brother Jim, as Dwayne is a member of the missions committee. Dwayne?
Pastor, thank you. Let's pray. Let's pray for our pastor here. God, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to share your gospel. And our brother here, as he departs to go to Calgary next Saturday, we pray for his safety. We pray for opportunities. Father, we pray that the obstacles that are thrown in the way, that you, through your grace and mercy, destroy those obstacles and give this team and this pastor of ours opportunity to share the gospel with those who really have never heard your name before. Yes. Father, we pray that they would have ears to hear and hearts to receive you. We pray now that you would prepare the churches there that are sponsoring this group. We pray that you would use them as we plant the seeds in Calgary, that they would cultivate these seeds and that they would grow. And Father, that you would receive the glory, the honor, and the blessing from it. Again, Father, we thank you for our pastor, and we love him, and we pray that you will use him mightily in this time to come. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
If nobody else has any announcements, we will go to the Lord in prayer. We certainly, before we go in the Lord in prayer, certainly are so happy for this young girl who comes forward this morning. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we humbly come to you in prayer, we just thank you once again for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the good events of this day, and we just thank you for each person here, and we just, this special time that we can come together to worship you, Heavenly Father. May we take this opportunity to lift our many prayer concerns up to you at this time, Heavenly Father. And as we lift these prayer concerns up to you, we just want to thank you for the privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, and you hearing our prayers. For it is in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen.